We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Serbian Corner, a show where a couple of Serbians talk about the Nuggets on the DNVR YouTube channel and the DNVR Nuggets podcast feed. My name is Miroslav. I'm calling from Pančevo, Serbia. I'm joined, like always, with Boja. Boja, how are you?
Hey, man. How's it going? I almost started talking in Serbian, but out of habit. Hello, everyone from Lincoln. Happy draft day, draft days to Broncos fans.
You've been podcasting a lot lately.
Oh man, this is I think it was like 9th or 10th in like the last 12 days. We've done like on Nuggets here, we've done the post games every time, and then we add the NBA show about preview of the second round earlier today. So I just all over the place.
As you can see, I'm calling in a complete off season form. It's not really a Hawaiian shirt like Brandon does, but I think I can convince you that this is a smoothie here.
Yes.
So if not,
yeah, you can't. We can't really. Brandon kind of owns that Hawaiian look. Like, we can't really compete with that.
Yeah, I know.
We gotta stay away from him with that.
I'm doing my best, but his lawyers are vicious. So
yeah. I see the comments. I was like, haircut Miroslav is in summer form already.
Yeah.
Yes.
Complete summer form. It's really short. It's really, really short, shorter than usual, but it's summer is coming, hopefully. Not as warm as I would hope for almost a May, but in a couple of days, hopefully, it will be better. So what we do on this show is a weekly recap of Nuggets basketball, quick takeaways, main themes, disagreements, and everything else. Since this is the last episode of recapping the on-season, we are going to recap the Nuggets playoffs and also reflect on the entire 2021-2022 season. So, shall we start with the Rakia shots then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this time around, let me just do the little intro. So the Rakia is the Serbian national alcoholic drink usually taken before dinner to make a toast. So what this segment will be is the quick headline, something that made impression on us quickly and strongly. And for our first series of Rakia shots, let's take one for each rotation player in the playoffs and also one double shot for Coach Malone. So let's start with that.
Yeah, let's start with that.
So the main guy we should start with...
Put the graphic on, Eric will be mad.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. That's right. Here it is.
There we go.
Here's a beautiful, beautiful graphic by Eric Weedham. Okay, so let's start with the big guy. How would you grade his playoff performance these five games we've seen from him?
I'd give it A-. It's the first couple of games that it just honestly just because it was under 50% from the field. That's kind of how we know with him when he's not at his best. Like when a defensive player has, it's kind of hard. Like it's weird. Like you're nitpicking with these great players when he has his number quotation marks, because it's not like he was guarded. Like, you know, he was pacified like Durant was, but he was still like visibly like he was out of his rhythm completely compared to even, and then seeing like the next three games, that's, you can kind of see like that those two are a little smidge on that. You know, that's why the Nuggets lost so much. And so I would say A-, because then he just bounced back and basically solved it. He had that one of those when you do a test, like your first question you know, like stumble on because you're just not in the test mode. And then by the end of the test, you're just destroying all the problems. I would give it an A-. Like, what do you think?
I couldn't agree with you more. My line of thinking was actually, if he had five great games, that would be an A+.
Yeah,
great games give you an A, and three gives you A-. It might be, to be honest, it might be maybe we're giving him too good of a grade, to be honest, you know, because, you know, that would mean that like B would be one good game and four bad games. I don't know if that qualifies for a B, but
no, but it depends like how, like that's the thing, is like one good game.
That's
like,
right.
When we get to Monte,
his
like
bad
Monte,
games are so good still.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, they were not bad. Like those games were still, because of the percentage, like he still had the stats. It's just that it took him longer to get to those stats than he usually can. And which usually means a lot of empty possessions for Nuggets, that it just piles on, like there's no Murray to like set offset or something. So that's why I think it's A-. And I don't think it would have been like, if he had one good game, like if he had game four as his only game, and we get to Monte, like that's kind of like what we're getting at. He's like, if he had that one game and then mediocre games around, it's kind of, I don't think it's linear. It's not like 5 A+, then 2 less. Like it's just the feel of it, you know.
I agree. And actually he averaged 31 points.
I mean, it's
13.2 rebounds, yeah. 5.8 assists on 64% percentage true shooting. And if you look at how many guys have averaged like 30, 12 and 5, that's like him, Giannis last year, and Oscar Robertson like 60 years ago. So that's all there is there. So yeah, we are still grading him on a curve, and this is why he's not getting an A+. It's an A-, but he actually goes the same way like the Nuggets themselves go.
Yeah.
I would say, and we'll talk about it more when we talk about Michael Malone, but I have a feeling that the Nuggets enter into every series not as bad as people feel. It's just that they were not that much worse from the Warriors as they looked like in the first two games, and they're not really that much good like they've shown in their last three games. But that's how the series evolves. This is the kind of jump that the Nuggets are capable of doing during the playoffs. So yeah, we can agree.
And everyone, you know, shout out your grades in the comments. Like if you disagree or agree or have your own takes, just we'll put them out there. Because right. I see Patrick said the generous. I don't know which part is A-, generous, or like the how we're grading or stuff. But we'll see. I mean, because we'll see when we get to the other guys. I think it's still A-, because like there's so much he can do with the circumstances, and if he was playing, you know, I don't know who has it would be like a terrible matchup for whoever's guarding him. Like, you know, whatever, if he's guarded by even Jaren Jackson Jr., like a smaller guy that fouls a lot, and Jokic has those first couple of games that are bad, then you'd be like, oh, that drags it down a bit to like a B level. But because it's also Draymond, it takes a little bit to solve. And then he solved it to a point where it's like over 30, like 33 per game in the next three. It's like, that's just a completely different stratosphere with no help around that they're gonna, which is like, that's the thing, is like when people say no help with Jokic, it's not that the players are like us playing with him, it's just that they're not respected to, like they're there to shoot more and score more. So that's like with no help, like because Jamal and MPJ, they wouldn't be able to just be like, okay, beat us. Because same thing with like we let Gary Payton score and he scored, and that's, you just take that loss and go home. But you want him to beat you, not Steph Curry. So it's kind of that part. Because same thing, Steph last year, no help technically, because he had some of these players, same players, but it just, these pieces around him like didn't fit as well. So it just like it turned out to be no help in their ninth.
And this is what actually makes me optimistic going to the next season, because, you know, Jokic always solves the guys. And this yep. was his first opportunity to play against Golden State Warriors. So now we know he has Rudy Gobert figured out. Now we know he has Enes Kanter, Freedom figured out. Now we have good results against Draymond Green. I think, I mean, if you look at the way the players evolve through their careers, I'm kind of the most I'm afraid of is Ayton, because he's so young and he was already pretty good last year against.
He's amazing. Jokic.
He's really, really good. So this is the guy I'm looking at for the future, and you know, I'm getting nervous about it. But for everybody else, all the guys that are actually older than Nikola, he's just figuring them all out and they're aging out. And it's really,
it'll be interesting.
Really piece of cake.
Yeah. Shout out to Patrick. He said he agrees with the grades. Generous was the word you were trying to use when.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, man.
That's the word I needed. Okay. Who would you say was the second best scorer on the Nuggets these playoffs? Who had the most points per game after Jokic?
It's got to be Gordon still, because he bumped up those. It's him and Monte.
It's very close. Like, it's very close. It's Monte. Monte had
by like what?
14 points, like 0.2 points more than Aaron Gordon. Yeah. It was really close.
It's because the first two games, Gordon was bad, and Monte still had that like 10-ish range.
Yeah.
And then they won 24. Yeah, you're right.
So Monte finished with 14 points, 5.4 assists, which is pretty good, almost as many as Nikola Jokic. And he also had 2.2 rebounds and 1.2 steals, which is also the third best on the team. Only guys had more steals than Monte was Nikola and Austin Rivers. And Austin Rivers really had all of his steals in that game four. I was a bit surprised.
That's crazy.
How few steals actually he had.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, like, he's always just following the guys around and he's causing the bad passes that cause steals.
That's right.
Like, that was kind of like when Steph was leading the league in steals, because Clay and Iguodala and all these guys around him were playing so well that he can just pick off people with bad passes, like, because of the good defense. Yeah.
How would you grade Monte for his play?
Oh, this is hard. Oh, this is so. That's
maybe, maybe the hardest. About. Maybe the hardest.
Yeah, because it's like he had that one game that, you know, was like brought us to life, and it's gotta be like a generous B minus. Or like a C plus kind of passing.
Oh man,
I'm
going to share my screen because you have the exact same.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, we didn't talk at all.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it at all. I think because people are saying two C plus. Is that's the thing is with Monte's, like, it's so weird. Like this, he's like a B player probably on average. And then just he can jump up to, like, honestly, even to A and A plus games. Like last year at some points, like, he would have these closeout games that he would get into the A level. And that one game he had was like amazing. It's just that all the other ones are kind of like a C game. Like even the first half of that game was very like barely passable. Like he didn't make too many mistakes, but he didn't do much impact. So it's like I'm still in on B minus because that game was so amazing. That like that second half of the fourth game, that, you know, avoiding the sweep, it was so good. And then even like in the fifth game was just also okay. Like you think he still had like decent enough, like they were guarding him more attentively in that one. It just the first two for everyone kind of drags it all down. I think because again, it's just so weird, like because compared to Jokic, obviously, and like what was necessary, like the Jamal's playoff, like A plus, you know, grades when he gets 15 stuff. Of course, Monte's not even close. So, like, compared to Jordan Poole, like, Poole had three games that are good, or like two games that are really good, and one okay, and then like two really not really that great. And so that's kind of just like, he's not obviously Jordan Poole. And I'm still sticking with B minus because of just that one that just propelled the Nuggets to a win. But otherwise, I think C plus is probably more like realistic. I'm also like subjective, so like it's one of those. I see the name on the test, and like maybe I accept like a half an answer as a full point answer or something. For him, it's just I see like C minus for the consistency, and that's the thing is like it's inconsistency based on. For him is like he's on C, and then he jumps up, but he goes back to C. Like I don't think he ever goes to F. Like I don't think he was like Barden to a point where it's like this is like a neutral or like a net negative or complete negative to a point where then he just goes and has a really good game. So I think it's like C plus to B minus, you know, level. What why would you say like it's your C plus or B minus?
No, it's B minus for me. And the reason, yeah, of course we are grading on a curve, but the thing about it, I would give him a higher grade even than B minus because I don't think he had many bad possessions. Really, he wasn't bad on defense. He was just too small on defense. It was so hard for him. There wasn't a single guy out there who you would say, okay, this guy, he will be handled by Monty. No problem with that. It's just such a bad matchup for him, and I would give him like a B, clean B for that because he was playing really hard and really smart. The only reason I went to B minus is because I'm really high on him and I really thought he might overcome it in some miraculous
sooner. That's
way.
The thing sooner because it took him like to game four to bust open completely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it took him a while. Still,
do we have copyright issues with these grades? Like, did Brendan Vogt need to be here to approve this segment?
I think he's still grading the single games because he's not on our level. So he still needs to learn from the Masters about the whole series. Yeah, it's completely different. Yeah. Okay, let's now go to Aaron Gordon, who was our third leading scorer with 13.8 points. He also had pretty good 7.2 rebounds per game and 2.6 assists, 1.2 blocks. One thing I didn't mention about Nikola and Monte, those guys had the biggest, the worst plus minus on the team with minus 8.8 and minus 9. And that's only because the Golden State Warriors, their strongest punch is much stronger than what the Nuggets can handle. Yeah. And these guys were always playing against the Golden State's strongest punch. So it's not a big surprise there. Aaron Gordon had a bit better plus minus of minus 4.6. How would you grade this, what's the name, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from Aaron Gordon?
Overall, it's one of those because again we're talking about it's not just like a regular test. Like we're not if they're zigzagging games, then it probably be like a C plus or like a B. But because he was ascending, I'm giving him a B plus in my mind because yes, first two games, but I think everyone wasn't on the intensity level in the first two games. Like, and he didn't need like three and then the fourth to be good. Like he was already starting in the third to play well. So B plus because of that, just like response on the first two games. Cause again, like it's, we will get to Malone and this is like weird. Like, cause the first game we talked about when we did our Nuggets Serbia show was like, it didn't seem like they approached it like a regular season game, like a first round of a boxing match, but Golden State came out swinging and Denver was like, oh, this is, yeah, that's right. This is playoffs. So they never got back to it. And the second one was, a little better, and then they collapse like from the same issues. So I think for me, just B plus because of how impressed I was later, like how good, how aggressive he was. Maybe B because the fifth game, the second half, he didn't score.
Damn it! But, I was hoping you would stick with B plus because I have a clean B, and now you're switching to B. And
well, let's go with B plus. Let's go. Okay, so he didn't score in the second half of the fifth game, which was like, you know, that's like a big no-no, but he had a lot of offensive rebounds and he was like doing a lot more other things than scoring. So I still, the trajectory how it was going and how bully ball he was in that first half, I'm going B plus. Like, why did you have B?
He he was so bad in those first two games. He looked so unprepared for playoff basketball. And, you know, you cannot blame him too much for it because he really doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. He's actually like middle of the pack in playoff experience regarding Nuggets players. But what really, really impressed me from the Golden State Warriors side, they were so ready for the game one, and they have never in their lives played in that three-headed monster lineup before. This was actually the premiere of it, and they were so ready for it. I know those guys are more experienced, meaning Curry and Thompson and Green, but it's really frustrating for me to see the level of intensity. And I think that that level of intensity can be a bit deceiving, because when you're punched so hard with good play from the other side, it might look like you're not battling, but you might be just, you know, on the wrong foot every time.
Yeah.
So
that's how it looked like first two games.
I wanted to give Aaron Gordon a bigger grade than B, but B is not so bad. I actually don't have a lot of guys above him with this B grade. I don't have much to add, really. I agree with you. He was growing through the five games. I'm not sure he was better in game five comparing to game four, for instance.
No, I don't think anyone was. That's the thing, is like everyone, yeah, except Jokic, like no one was better than that game four. That's why they won. It's just, I think he came out with the same intensity. Then the next half, in the second half, he scored less because they were ready, because they had that box and one and all that stuff that they were doing. But he was still like crashing the boards. And yeah, I saw like comments like he had a turnover in the clutch, and yeah, that pass that Jokic threw him. It's one of those things, like as great the pass that was, like it's not really, it didn't really cause any advantages for Gordon. Like he kind of got him the ball and he was already defended. So it was just like a confusing, like, should I force it now and I'm behind the basket, or should I pass it out? And just then Barton was tentative. So even that turnover was like, it was bad. Like he just should just kept the ball and tried something else. But again, this is like learning situations. Again, he wasn't supposed to be this type of role. Like he could have been mad, like Harden was in Brooklyn, be like, I didn't sign up for this. Like I was supposed to get here and like be a defensive specialist on this bigger guards, not chase around Jordan Poole and Steph Curry for the whole game at like, you know, 250 pounds of muscle and like 6'9" of height. So I think that's why I'll still give him a B, yeah, B plus with that, because yeah, see, Ray says met his expectations. And who's next? Let's keep
it. One thing I will do this offseason is watch a lot of Aaron Gordon's made isolation plays, because I was like getting a stroke every time he was getting ready for the isolation. He's not as bad of a isolation player as
just looks
I,
bad. It just I feel looks bad.
It looks pretty clunky. But I need to prepare myself for that, because that's one way to end a possession, you know, if not everything goes by the plan. It's not the worst thing in the world to have to have Gordon isolating. Okay, next guy, surprisingly or not, with the same number of points per game as Aaron Gordon, is Will Barton. He's 13.8 points, 5.6 rebounds, pretty good, 2.8 assists, -8, pretty similar to Jokic and Morris.
Yeah.
And let me see his shooting percentages. Not that bad. 41 from the field, 39 for 3-point line. So pretty consistent shooting numbers from Will Barton. Well, not actually consistent, but pretty good on average. And
yeah.
So where did you go with
this? Dude, this is so hard. The thing is, that's the problem with him, is just that you look at that paper and it's same as the season, like, wow, but he didn't have a terrible, like if he was a fifth option, you're 14, whatever, 40 something, 38 from the three, it's not terrible. It's just that these, the moments that mistakes happen, and like what we see with that 3-point shot, and he had that great moment. I'm so happy that he got the three to win, to close that game out. And finally, it was like a 6-point, even the first three he made in that, in that game was really big. Like it was an open shot and stuff. And it's one of those what could have been, because I think his time has expired in Denver. Like I don't know if it's, you know, if it needs to, if we need to repeat it with him again. But it's one of those what could have been last year. Like if he didn't get hurt, he didn't push it too hard when everyone got hurt. So I think it's a C minus, like a D plus, just because of the mistakes. Because the problem is that defense, and we talk about Monte, was like Monte reads the court so well and he knows where to be, just that he's smaller. Pair that with Barton that just makes some, like, it's so frustrating. Like he swims on defense. There's like, I was talking about after game three, he had a possession where we got lucky and he didn't, like Wiggins didn't make it. He was like, got beaten really quickly. Like not even, he just stood up on a closeout, got walked by. Then he started catching up and then ended up in a corner without anyone there. Then Wiggins missed that shot. The next one of those same possessions, Wiggins makes that same shot. Then that offensive rebound that was just atrocious, they lost the game. And then the three-point shot. Like, all that stuff, it's just compiled from, like, going to 2-2. Yes, he made that three for, like, you know, for 3-1 eventually, and, like, that was great. But just so many bad things. And then just sometimes just non-existent with him is, like, you have to – he has to be offensive weapon and playmaking weapon for it to make sense to be on the court. Like he can't be there just to be there. At one point he was there with the bench and I didn't notice it was him. I was like, who's the fifth guy? Oh, that's Barton. I guess I didn't even know it was him in the fourth game. Instead of Forbes, like he came in the second half. So it's so hard. Like I don't like, it's not, I'm not his hater. Like I wish he was better, 'cause he has some flashes, but some of the mistakes he makes are just for what I'm grading is like fundamentally. It's like, again, like talking about grading like tests in school when I was TAing and stuff. And it's like, you see someone's problem and if they make a mistake on like setting up the equation, you take away most of the points, even though there was similar numbers or something, but it was fundamentally was like a wrong setup. You can't accept the problem because like that's, if you made a mistake like on a negative sign in like second to last row of an equation, you'd be like, okay, this is a test environment. You can accept like most of the points and be like, pay attention next time. But if you make a mistake in setting up the equation or equations in a system, you can't accept that as a passing grade. So I think even for me, it would be like a D plus even, not a passing grade because of just these fundamentals that caused it. Because if Rivers is in there, even though it doesn't score, like, he was bringing up more, he was covering those like little things better than Barton was. And so he would win in those games. We would like win those minutes and it looked better like when he was out there. Again, like maybe it was Malone's also fault how he was using him on defense. Like in the fifth game, he made him just shadow a player when Rivers got hurt. So he didn't have to think about helping or like reading the defense. Just like, I'm looking at Steph Curry, I'm going to chase him around and that's it. And so then maybe a little bit better, but you know, it's overall like just how the series went, like D plus, I guess.
I will be a bit more generous than you. I will give him a clean C for his performance, and two reasons for that. As I said, I'm grading on a curve, and I didn't expect a lot from him. I expected bad defensive possessions. I expected no boxing out whatsoever, hunting for rebounds. That really frustrates me, and I agree that Will right now is more of a contract than a player for the next off season. I don't know if he will be traded right away in the off season or maybe at the trade deadline. I hope it will be sooner for his sake because I think he is a good player. Probably not a player that should have as much responsibility on a good team like Denver Nuggets is. He's 31. He will not change his habits. Yeah, he will not suddenly start boxing out at the age of 31. And you know what? He needs to preserve his body as well. You know, boxing out is hard. It's not an easy treat. So I get it. Somewhat, and also he had that three-pointer that was a dagger in game four. He finally got his playoff moment. I'm happy for him because of that. A clean C for me. I don't want to go too deep on Will Barton. It's just it is what it is. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Guy number five in points, and this is a bit of a surprise for me, maybe not. DeMarcus Cousins, he averaged 10.6 points in these playoffs. He also had actually only 3.4 rebounds and 1.2 assists, but we need to take a look at his minutes. It's only 11.4 minutes. So 10.6 points in 11.4 minutes. He's actually the first scorer per 36 minutes on the Nuggets. Not by much, really, because Jokic almost had a point per minute as well. So it's not a big difference. How would you grade the big comeback of DeMarcus Cousins?
Let's go with... Well, that's the thing. Is like, what are we setting? Is Jokic like the max that anyone can get? Or is it we're talking about comparing to what he can bring? Is it on like... a curve as in Jokic is the max, so then A minus is no one can get out after that. Because for Boogie, I think it's B plus. For him, I can't get him over because he had the, you know, he had the technicals, he had some bad possessions. Like he had one of those games like he was bad. But again, it's just like maybe A minus even, like compared to like what he was, we were like maybe, and that's one of those troubles with these, like it's objective as in what you're expecting. And like what that guy, what you expect the guy can bring, and like what he was brought in, what he brought in those minutes, because that last game was like an A plus, but then like some he had technicals in some of them, and some did like that what game two or the one they lost like in the second half of game three, he would like they would let the point differential slide and stuff like that. So I think it's a B plus on an A minus curve, like more close to an A minus than a B, you know. I love what he was bringing, and I love he was like taking advantage of that second unit. It was small, so just banging around. So I think A minus, but if we're that's the thing, like it's up to you, like what are we doing? Is the A minus maximum, or is it just on each player has its own curve? That's the question.
Yeah, I agree, and I want to give DeMarcus Cousins his own curve, and this is why I will give him a clean A for this.
So that's okay. So we're doing for every player. That's why Barton again is like as a for me a D plus because of his. Okay, so it's on, yeah. Then I would go to A minus with Boogie, for if he's his own curve. Yep.
Yeah, his own curve. I mean, what can we expect from a guy who hadn't played in first half of the season at all? For anybody, he wasn't on the NBA roster, and then he came to Milwaukee, and then he came to the Nuggets. And yes, I agree, he had some technical fouls that actually shouldn't be a technical foul. Yeah, that's just stupid. That was just stupid. He was playing with a lot of heart and with a lot of smarts. I would say he was really competent in every second he spent on the court, and he was surprisingly good in pick and roll defense. I was really, really pleasantly surprised with how quick his hands still.
Yeah, Draymond was talking about that, how like he actually is much better than people think in the pick and roll.
Yeah, they had to give up exposing Boogie on defense
because it's not happening. Point. Yeah, especially in the second unit, it's not. Yeah,
yeah, and you, I mean, I would argue that he was probably the most important guy off the bench. For the Nuggets, before
it was supposed to be Bones, but it turned out not to be.
Yeah, it wasn't really close. It was Boogie and then Bones. So and this is why actually the ranking goes in this way as well. So after Boogie, we're going to Bones Highland. He had 9.2 points per game. He had 2 rebounds and 3.2 assists, which is not too bad for 17 minutes in a game. And I forgot to mention, DeMarcus was the first guy in plus-minus who was a positive, 0.6, and Bones was minus 0.8, so almost a positive from Bones as well. Now, we have to consider that Bones is a rookie, and we have to consider the fact that if Jamal was healthy, Bones maybe wouldn't even be playing in these playoffs.
Yeah.
So how would you grade his performance based on all that?
I mean, he passed. He's for me to see, because First couple of games, he was nowhere. Fifth game, it's basically the home games, he was there. Away games, he wasn't. Again, rookie role player usually makes sense. They're on the road. They're not as great as they are at home. He had that burst of, you know, burst of moment in like the, you know, go big or go home type of moment. So I think it's a passing instead of failing because, again, he's a rookie and what was expected and what was thought about him in this moment, like he passed it. So I think it's a C, even though, like, yeah, maybe, I mean, because I can, like, I can give him more because of just it's three like mediocre to like unnoticeable games to two okay games or like one great half, great quarter. And then I think he had 7 assists, which is like, yeah, one great game and then one okay game and then 3 really non-factor, like a lot of misses. And because the thing is, like, if in fifth game, if he makes like 2 of those threes that he pulled, like, he changes momentum, changes different defenses. So I would pass him. Like, unfortunately, he twisted his ankle in the fifth to 2. But yeah. It's a passing, no question. It just depends on if it's C or C plus for me, I guess.
I would agree with you if this was his second season. Like, he's seen it already, and he still wasn't very effective throughout the series. He was a rookie. I will give him a B minus for what he did. He had that great second quarter.
You're right. I'm on a C plus. I'll be a C plus because that's a little bit more than passing because of that game. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That I think he had like 11 points in one quarter. That was like first time a rookie off the bench scored 11 points like since 1986 and Muggsy Bogues. That was a nice piece of data about him. I wasn't impressed, but I wasn't disappointed. I feel fine.
He was like impressed with one game, but overall in the series is like there's a lot of work to do. Again, it's not that it was this is abysmal. Like there's no fixing. It's like no, this is just a rookie that has more responsibility than he should on his shoulders as a rookie.
That's right.
That's why I was like, that's why the Pelicans ones were. But again, that's the difference of like the age. Like how many years in college and stuff, but that's why that's so impressive what the Pelicans rookies were doing. But again, they had a whole season to play in like starting roles, and you know if Bones starts the whole year, his trajectory is much higher for the playoffs. So
and also, you know, he's a rookie who was a 20-something pick on the draft. He wasn't a top 5 pick, and you need to expect more from him.
Yeah,
it's pretty good playoff. Yeah,
let's bust Bones through the rest of them.
Yeah, let's go on a quick fire right now. So, Austin Rivers.
Oh,
I think he's the last guy that deserves
a positive. Yeah. I mean, honestly, with the defense and because that's the thing with him, again, another curve for what we want. I wish I saw more from him just from like rotation minutes. But I think, and I kind of talked about like maybe even doing some pick and rolls with Jokic and stuff. That's why I want to see him next year because I really hope if they trade Barton away and they get someone that's like a specialist in defense, like that Austin gets some offensive possessions there where it's not just, oh, you just jack up shots or like try to drive one-on-one. Like if he has some more involvement in the offense. I loved his defense and like how he was just guarding. So if me, it's B, like easily, even though he doesn't have points. Because it was important. We saw like how tough it was in the fifth game to just stay in front of Steph, no matter how like he was getting beat. It's not that he's like stopped anyone, like completely shut him down and stuff. Because no one, I don't think anyone can. But Steph was running away from Barton and Jeff Green in the closing minutes of that fifth game. And if Austin is there, at least like he's more in front of him to like force Steph. It's like it's one of those like it's even if it's an inch to like back and like out of balance that can decide like a ball rolling out of the rim or a complete miss than just an easy layup. So I've given him a B for him.
Yeah, I gave him an A minus because similar thing like a year ago he had no club. He was dismissed from the New York Knicks and then he came to the Nuggets, became really humble and built himself up. I have to say, I really, really hope that both Austin and Boogie will come back for the Nuggets next season. I heard what Tim Connelly said, that they know what they need to do in the offseason regarding the free agents and they know how to upgrade.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit afraid if they use both, you know, that biannual exception and the taxpayers' mid-level exception on some other guys, they might not be able to keep both of these guys, because one of these guys might command a bit more than a minimum. Yeah, actually, Austin can stay. He has an early bird right, so he can stay on a bigger deal than.
Yeah, we'll see what the plan is. Maybe, I mean, that's the things I wouldn't want to, like, if they're your biggest acquisitions in the offseason, that's a problem. If they're doing,
of course.
If they're stacking up on wings, if they're like subbing like Faku, Vlatko, like Forbes, like, and for like actual big guys, because it's one of those, again, it's when you talk about money now, it's like whatever, who demands what is Rivers, Devon Reed, like who do you plan on? Because if you can, you know, you get Devon Reed for more years, maybe that's like similar. He's, you know, I don't know if he's that much younger, but like they're similar age. Like, what do you think? Or like Austin's a vet. If you with Boogie, is like, what do you also plan to draft? What do you, how many players you think, like, there, if there's a center that's like a player ready center right away, or like someone in the free agency that's, they might work, or like you're like, okay, Cousins, a summer of workouts, gets a couple of years salary. And then you have Jermichael and Jeff. Like, if you get rid of one of the greens, if you're stacking up on wings, because that's my thing. Is like, I would just want to be at some point in that bench that like the Clippers just get like huge guys that just can, even if you have a player zone in that second unit, like that there's that malleability there to figure it out. So we'll see. I mean, I would want Austin Rivers back more than Boogie if I'm picking between the two.
Okay, do we want to split up Bryn Forbes, Jermichael Green, and Jeff Green, or can we give them?
Quick for me is like F Forbes, F Jeff, and like D minus for Jermichael, because he at least had some free throws and some something, but like he was also unnoticeable, which again is like sucks for the bench, but that's just for me.
I have a soft spot for Jeff Green, and I think he actually played pretty good in the fifth game. He cleaned up a lot of shit on the defense.
Yeah, but it's one of five.
I would give him like, is there an F plus grade?
Maybe that's a D minus probably if you want to do that.
Yeah, I would go with D minus for Jeff Green over there. Yeah, and I agree. I it's actually really hard for me to grade Jermichael Green. I actually don't remember.
That's exactly. That's why I'm like, I don't. That's why I'm D minus, because like, I don't remember much. I remember the free throws that kept us afloat. I think game three. I think it was that one, and it was just like one of those bad minutes from the bench that, like, I think he just got there to like, just so Jokic can get in or something. But yeah, it wasn't that noticeable, especially with the guy that earns $9 million, like. You know, Monte's similar salary, like, you know, you see around the league, like you have the Memphis guys, like Tyus Jones is similar, a little less salary, like those making like big plays that matter. So like, it's a lot of money for a guy that didn't really bring you much. And Jeff Green was like obviously less paid, but you expect him where he's starting, and he was last year how he played for Brooklyn. I just expect a little bit more of just oomph from him. Like, he had some good plays, but it's just a little flashes here and there, nothing like too much. Again, he wasn't the role that he signed on for. Like, he was supposed to be, you know, he was supposed to be from the bench and like substituting for Michael Porter, not going up against like the starters in Golden State. But it is what it is. Like, he didn't, for me, he just didn't pass, especially after that, like that rebound that happened with him and Barton is just unacceptable. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
One last shot, and that's Michael Malone. And it's hard. It's hard to give him a grade. I was thinking a lot about it, and I will give him a B minus. I think he was a bit better than last year for sure, and maybe even a bit better than 2 years ago. What would you say?
I think he had more options 2 years ago because that was the bubble. So he had more options because that was Utah. We won first game. Jamal Murray was heroic. Overtime, that 57 Mitchell. Then they lost the game 2-3, which basically repeated mistakes from game one. It just that no Jamal wasn't making 40 points in like how many in the fourth. So they lost those two games really abysmally. Then he changes things. Then they lose the fourth based on those, because that's one of those, like, it's the late adjustments is are following all these years. It's not for the whole, so someone's asking for the season or the Rays asking for a season or playoffs. I think just playoffs.
Playoffs.
I think it's C plus for me just because it took like that third game was the clincher. Like if he makes that move and puts Rivers like he did in game four and they win that game, then even if they lose the fourth, like at least it was sooner. Or at least it was on par through like the last years. Because last year it took two games for him to change things. I still think if he has more personnel any next year they're more healthy. I hope that through the year they're not chasing just the number one seed for whatever reason. Like they're not Utah and just, oh, we're gonna plow through guys with this rotation. I hope he does some weird things throughout the season, because you know, I always go back to these coaches that are doing this on the fly. It's just that they have the luxury to do it on the fly because they tried it during the season. It was, say, minus for Serbian corner. Thank you. it could be, yeah, it's always, well, I agree with that. It can always be better. Like that's
right.
And I think like he took a little longer, and there's, you know, Taylor Jenkins is like doing stuff on the fly because he saw what those lineups could do during the season with Malone. He's like, he can't do stuff on the fly with like his big adjustment. Like Adam was talking about, it's like, oh, it's Faku or like some of these things. It's so, I think it's E+ just it took because of that clincher, like game three, that basically decided the series, that he put Jeff Green back when they shouldn't have. So I think that's why it's still passing, because he did a lot of good adjustments, just that one key one that he didn't. So it's a little bit over a pass. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. B minus for me. I want to show some faith in Malone. I don't know how much he as a single person is responsible for the motivation of the players. I mean, he should be, but you know, they're all pros, or most of them are millionaires, and I don't think there's an excuse for guys not giving all they have from game one. As I said, it might be a trick to our eyes that they were actually fighting with a lot of energy, and it just wasn't enough. Yeah, because the
I mean, it was great. I mean, that's the thing, is like these are all like, it's a passing, it's all passing. So it's like over 50% of like, you know, the over from 100%. So like C+ is whatever, 60 or whatever. So yeah, just because again, like some of these things that for me, it's just, there were nitpicks of like, if we can see it from the side, you know, just it sucks. Because like for one example that like we had to be like, okay, he was right, is that Jokic not playing over 40 minutes turned out to be like, it was a reason because of his hamstring, I guess. We didn't know that, but I guess that's what a reason. But that's why you wait for the whole series, because we're like, why is he not playing? He's playing 38 minutes in a deciding game. It could have cost us game four and be a sweep. But then we see game five, it's, oh yeah, it's because he was not physically there. If he went 45 that game, he might have injured it then completely. So, but these adjustments, we've seen that they should have, they would have worked. So overall, a lot of good ones, like a lot of fight and everything. So there wasn't like an embarrassing out-coach job. Like, you know, he really had a good run of these three games that he did not play. Maybe he even out-coached Steve Kerr in that direction. Like that box and one was maybe 51% for Steve Kerr, 49% for
he improved a lot since that first series against San Antonio.
Yeah, that too. Well, yeah, of course. Yeah,
we have to honor that as well. Okay, I will skip the part about putting the regular season in the historical context, because this first part was really, really long, and we have to take care of the time. So let's go right away to the All Nuggets Awards. Let's finish the season.
I have a question. Is Voy a teacher? He sounds like one. Well, I am a PhD student, so I did teach here too.
Yeah. So for our Burek of the Week, we are going to give the All Nuggets Award, similar to All NBA Awards. I want to see who was the MVP of the Nuggets for this season. Duh. Who was the most improved player? Who was the sixth man of the year? And I want to select the All Nuggets first team. So let's start with the easiest one, MVP, DeMarcus Cousins.
Sure.
He's close second per minute, close second. So, Nikola averaged 27.1 points most of his career. this season. 13.8 rebounds, most of his career by a lot. 7.9 assists, which is actually
that's
worse
also
than
one. Nice. Wait, 7.9? Wow.
7.9. He was 8.1 last season, so that's slight decrease. And he shot 58, 34, 81. If you remember how bad he was shooting throughout the big chunk of this season, he actually ended up at 34.
He almost had a 50, 40, 90 if he doesn't injure his wrist.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I agree. So let's just give the MVP to Nikola Jokic and move on to the more interesting awards. So most improved player, and I will give you the list of finalists, and if you think there is somebody else who should be on the list, please add it. So first of all, Nikola Jokic made 1.5 more points per game than last season.
Patrick says Natalia is the MVP.
Oh yeah. Fair. Very fair. Three more rebounds than last year. As I said, he regressed slightly in assists. Aaron Gordon went from, and I'm looking at the stats from the last season after Jamal mm-hmm. got hurt. So it's not fair to compare, the whole of the last season. So Aaron Gordon went from 10.2 points to 15, almost a 5 points per game leap, from 4.7 rebounds to 5.9, and the assists stayed pretty much the same. Monte Morris went from 9.3 to 12.6 points per game, 1.7 rebounds to big 3 rebounds per game, and from 2.7 assists to 4.4. My pick here will still be Aaron Gordon. I think Aaron Gordon took the opportunity of a bigger responsibility on the team. And I don't know, maybe he could have gone even better than what he was. But I feel in the first half of the season, at least, he was solidly the best player, second best player on the Nuggets. So this is why I'm giving it to him.
I agree. For me, it's also the style of play, the intelligence and how you picked up stuff from Jokic and learned. That's the improvement. Monte's always been smart, and his improvement is mostly minutes and the role. So he's not playing like 20. He's playing more, more 30s. So I think that's just jumped up in like that opportunity. So if Monte went from 9 to like 17 points a game and just exploded, even with the minutes increase, like that's obviously there. But Gordon increase of points for him, I think he's mostly just intelligence. And I love what he said after the game. It was like the off season is working smarter, not harder, like watching film and making, even being more useful to Nikola and like playing with him than what he was this year. And he was great. Like those, give and go passes with Nikola, like with Jokic, is, I think even first few of them that I did, I don't know if even Nikola was, if he was surprised, because it kind of looked like he was already waiting for it to be an offensive rebound if he misses. And then he just gets the ball in his hand and lays it up. So I love that how he improved there. So let's go.
Basketball is so unfair. I mean, if you're 6'2", there is just so much. You cannot go all the way, to the biggest heights unless you're Jamal.
Isaiah Thomas.
Like yeah, I guess so.
Well, the old one, not the newer one. Yeah, the newer one is good, but Let's go next. Sure. What's six man or what's the next?
Six man of the year. So every player that started in less than 33% of their played games qualifies for the award. So it's Bones Highland, Jermichael Green, Austin Rivers, Facundo Campazzo, Bryn Forbes, DeMarcus Cousins, Zeke Nnaji, and Davon Reed.
God, this is hard. I mean, I guess it's a default Bones, I guess. For me, at least, like he did have. I think it's obvious just for, it's one of the default awards. Like I don't have much to be like, okay, Boogie's been there, but not as much. And he changed that second unit, but I also think like Bones did. Like he has, maybe like it's between the two of them, but I think it's less, he didn't play for the whole season to see like how it would progress. Like he came in basically rested and like kind of turned around that part, but I think it's Bones. Just he had most responsibility and like the, and you see the, you saw the difference when Faku finally got out of the lineup and Bones got in. Just different style of play that they had. So for me, I guess it's him.
So. Listen, this award is so stupid. It's as stupid as the All-NBA Sixth Man of the year because, you know, we are rewarding a guy who is not good enough to be on the starting five, but is best out of all of that. I agree with Bones' pick because he scored more than 600 points this season, which is by far the most out of
how many threes guys. And all that, yeah.
Yeah, and yes, we are casuals here. We are awarding volume scorers of the bench, but what you going to do? There wasn't a much better choice than Bones here. Okay, finally, let's make an All-Nuggets first team selection. This is quite interesting, to be honest. The reason I don't want to make the second team is because that would be basically shitting over all the guys outside of the top 10. So let's just stick to the top five here. My team, and I will reveal it right away, will be Nikola Jokic, Aaron Gordon, Monte Morris, Bones Highland. And the fifth spot is really tough for me. Not because there was a lot of great options. I will still go with Will Barton.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Jeff Green was pretty close to him in my mind, you know, because he was really steady for a big part of the season. Never flashy, never too big of a production from him. But he was always, you know, doing the right things during the regular season. So he might be my sixth guy on this top five list this time around.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. That's Bones, Barton, Monte, Gordon and Jokic. And honestly, like how this season was Barton's athleticism and stuff, it's kind of ironic. He went back finally to his natural position and he might have been better if it was a three all year. if it was a small forward, because then it wouldn't be playing against like quicker people. So it's kind of funny, just like he was a three for all these years when he should have been a two, and then now he's a two and it actually would have been better if he was a three. But I think he's still got to be in the top five. Like we can't forget like how many good games he's had all year, like the beginning of the year, how much he carried that second player load until Gordon got into the groove and stuff. So that's, I agree with that lineup. So,
okay. So before we get out of here, let's finish on a high note.
Yeah.
Let's do a bit of a flirty dozen quiz.
Let's go.
We haven't done it for some time. These beautiful graphics from our own Eric Weedham. So this time around, I will give you the first four guys out of this dozen will be the guys that had the most rebounds per game in these playoffs, and those are Jonas Valanciunas, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic, and Rudy Gobert. So these guys had the most rebounds per game.
Per game.
Okay. But this is not my question. My question will be, give me eight guys. So I already gave you four. So this is a completely different era. The area, eight guys who scored more than 27 or more points per game in these playoffs.
Wait, there's been that many over 27?
Eight guys over 27.
Over 27. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with Jokic, Ingram, Jalen Brunson.
Okay. All of them are correct. Jokic is number one, 31. Yep. Brunson is 7, 27.8.
Yep.
Brandon Ingram, 27.
And he's number eight.
So you have one.
Giannis
is correct. He's number five, 28.6.
Jimmy Butler,
really good, 30.2. He's number two.
Yep. So what do I have? Four, five.
Three, four, and six.
Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell is not on the list.
Oh, because the last game maybe, yeah, or something. Because he was there for a while, but okay. So
he was really inefficient,
Jason Tatum,
number three, 29.5.
So we got four and five.
Yeah, we only need four and six now.
Four and six. So around 27. Let me see. So I said Ingram and let me try to see what who else was on there with the points, because Cat had a terrible games. So I don't think he's there. Edwards is 25. What was on the other side? Oh yeah, thank you for a great comment. Well, I'll have to fire off some names just to get it out.
We have a guest from
Embiid.
No name as God.
Embiid.
Who said,
Steph. Yeah.
Steph is a good guest. Steph is number six. We only need number four. You said Embiid. Sorry. Yeah. Embiid
did
not score 27. He's not. So embarrassing. He's not in top 10. Yeah. So embarrassing.
Very. 27. It's not
Walter Verti said, wanna be MVP? Yeah.
27. That's not fucking DeRozan. It's not. Because I'm trying to feel like I don't want to strike out too many times, just list out a bunch of names and be like, oh, until I get it. So I want to just get the player. Who was on the other sides with... I'm trying to get through the matchups on each end. CJ McCollum, probably not. I don't think
No.
Because they were duo were the best, but I think combined, not...
Philip tried with Poole, which is a pretty good guess, but he had a pretty bad games.
Yeah, I think Clay wasn't that far up either, and Maxi either. Maxi? Yeah. I mean, not...
Maxi
probably
is
not.
A fair guess. Not, yeah. not
So maybe six, so just above 27. And
no, number four. We're searching
number four. Yeah. Oh, so a little bit more. Wow.
I will tell you, he scored 29 per game, number four.
Holy moly. Wait a minute. But how am I missing that many points? Maybe it's a series I haven't watched that much. Shoot. Clay? No, Clay is not. Clay didn't go to
I was teasing you long enough. It's Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic.
Five per points per game. I'm not much because I eliminated two games that he didn't play or three or whatever. And you're right. Yeah. That makes sense. Of course.
Let me just pull up the. Oh no, that's not good. Okay, doesn't matter. Okay, these are the eight guys. I'm really sorry. Joel Embiid is not on this list. I'm really sorry. that Kevin Durant is not on this list. I guess if you want to be number one scorer in the playoffs, you should be a bit.
Should have a shittier team.
Okay, guys, thank you for hanging out with us this Saturday. Tomorrow is May 1st. It's a big holiday here in Serbia. Do you call it like a Labor Day?
So Labor Day here is in September, like first weekend of September. So this is like international, I guess, Labor Day or something.
Yeah, International Labor Day. That's right. Okay, so we'll see. We'll change a bit the format for the off season. You'll get the information on that soon enough, and roll with us during the off season. The DNVR will be giving out a lot of great content, especially next week. We expect some composure in one of the shows, as it's already announced. So,
wait, really, PJ?
It's not official. We only know a lot of composure will be there. So we'll see. Don't give it away, boy.
I didn't know. I didn't hear that.
Okay, so have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.